You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
On the ninth day of Drunksmiths, my true love gave to me 9 Allison
Bears,
8 spider balls, 7 asshole birds, 6 cows a-bonging, 5 cane toads, 4 friends with podcat, 3 nicknames for Tom, 2 lushy ladies, and a beanbag to throw at my face.
Everybody, welcome to day 9 of Drunksmiths 2019.
Jeez. 9 out of 12.
Ugh, this is the half hour happy hour
ladies night.
I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Maud Garrett, and for the next 30-ish minutes we're going to be drinking too much, saying inappropriate things, and potentially spitting some booze.
I mean, that's all potential.
Maybe sipping some news. We've got some cool peeps to do that with, including Tom. I have water in my cup, Mandango.
Is that
Cryosu
water? What are you at? Is it Basil Hayden?
It's still the Basil Hayden.
The Basil Hayden. Fuck
you,
yeah.
Water in
Troy
your
Baker
cup?
Bringing us that Basil.
No, I've got pulpy orange juice.
No, I got bourbon here.
And the guest that we have on today.
Yeah, Maud, who's here today?
He's a new friend that feels like an old friend for some reason. And we'll go into that because I've got thoughts aplenty. You know him as Ezra from the Star Wars Rebels.
I've never heard of it.
The show?
Clone
you know a little
Wars
thing called Straw Wars?
What? Yeah. No, what is this all about?
Have you never heard of it?
I'm very drunk, but I'm very seriously kidding.
Oh, really?
Of course, well, I know. Of course I've heard of it.
My brother had never heard of it.
Are you serious?
I think even now he has no idea that it's a show.
Oh, my God. Well, please introduce this man so we can talk about this.
Taylor Gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you guys for having me.
We are also, we're also in a big new thing that just kicked off, and it is called Galaxy of Crime on the Geg Head. It's season 2, technically, of Geg Wars, but it's the first time we're all doing it together. Whole new campaign, mostly new players. Tay, you and Freddie are the only original, the OGs.
I've easily played the least of everybody.
Yeah.
This is my first game.
I want to get you closer to the mic so we can hear you. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm going to eat this
thing.
This is the first game.
It.
Oh, there you are.
This is the first thing, the first game you've
played. I mean, outside of like Monopoly and
are you
life
serious?
First role-playing game, yeah.
Okay, so we are like light years away, no pun intended, from the guest we had before who like all he does is play games.
That's what it sounded like. So I mean, I love a good escape room.
Okay, good. That's a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go back to the fact that your brother did not know that Star Wars was a thing.
I don't know if all, like, we were raised on sports. Like, I hadn't seen all of the movies when I got the show.
Really?
Oh, that's a really fun story.
I didn't know that it was Star Wars that I was rooting for. And Freddie and I always joke about it.
Okay, that's understandable.
They
not
put code
knowing
words on
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
And
wow.
But by the time they're saying light stick and like using the force, you should figure that out, Freddie's
light
saying.
Light stick?
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Light stick?
No.
That was you didn't know what a lightsaber was.
I thought it was the Jungle Book that I was reading for because it was codenamed Wolf.
And you were like,
oh,
I'm Mowgli.
Yeah.
Wait, so
wow, funny.
When you say you hadn't watched all the movies, what movies had you watched by the time?
I had seen 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, you saw all the important ones.
Yeah.
So that's what really matters.
Yeah. So the first time Taylor and I actually met was the same Comic-Con as meeting or, you know, forming a friendship with Troy Baker. It was 2014
Guest
Comic-Con.
On day three of Drunksmiths.
That's it. So I'm interviewing the whole cast of Rebels. And of course, my big question is, when was your first Star Wars experience? And how much does it sort of mean to you? And of course, the rest of the cast, Steve Bloom is Bloom?
Yeah.
Steve Bloom, yeah.
Is just like, this is my life. I love Star mm-hmm. Wars. I watched it in the cinema when I was this high. So important to me. Vanessa.
When you say this high, you mean actual height, not...
I was this
stone. But that was someone else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Vanessa was just like, it means so much to me. This world is so important. I love it so much. Freddie, I was supposed to have a 2-minute interview with him. I believe it goes for 8 or 9.
Oh.
Because when he started talking about it, he was talking about the analogies with that and wrestling and then all these other things. And I just had my microphone out and he just went. And I was like, yeah. This is amazing. Taylor. Yeah. First experience. I've seen it. And then after the interview, I pulled him aside off camera and I was like, mate, you are now the voice and the lead of this Star Wars show. If you don't watch them and know them intimately and everything about this world inside out, you will get eaten apart.
See, yeah. It was so the opposite. Like, I'm not ever going to put something on. And it was like, if I start acting like I know this, then I will be made a
That's
fool.
It. You
Whereas
can't fail
I came
it.
Out immediately and was just like, yo, I don't know this that well. And the amount of people that came forward with all these sentiments about what it meant to them, it was amazing. Like, they would tell me where they saw, what had happened. I needed to know this. Make sure you know this.
So that was super friendly and inviting.
Perfect. The coolest fan group, because like, they also don't like so many things, but then they end up liking it and it's great. Everyone's cool.
But Freddie was saying something that was super, super interesting. Dave Filoni, who's basically the mastermind and creator of all of like Clone Wars and Rebels, loved that you weren't a diehard because it was so sort of symbolic of your character Ezra, who was learning everything for the first time. So you and your character had that almost in common.
Yeah, that was what Dave Filoni really stressed, was he was like, dude, I don't care what anyone says to you, don't go watch it. Because like, Ezra's a cavalier dude, like, you know me now, like, I didn't care that I had, you know what I mean? I knew what it meant and I had a different attitude because I hadn't seen it. So it brought something different and I'm okay with that. And Dave was like, don't watch any of it until the show's over. I was like, you got it.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think what people don't, when you get these like super passionate fan bases about Star Wars or any
DC,
other
Marvel.
Yeah. Any of them, Walking Dead, any of these like fanboy fan bases, people sort of expect you to be the fan who happens to be on the show. And that's not necessarily what brings about the best performance or the best commitment to the character, because the characters who are on these shows aren't fans of the shows that they're on.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So it's like, who gives a fuck? The thing that doesn't fly, and I don't disagree with this, and this is clearly not the category you fall into, is that someone who ends up on a show with a massive fan base, but then doesn't give a fuck about the legacy.
They disrespect it. Yeah.
Right. And that's totally different. But like, saying someone has to be a fan of the property prior to working on the property is like a fallacy.
I'm such a massive fan of Star Wars now. Like, honestly, because it's crazy. It's so cool. I get it. If my parents would have sat me down and I watched it all, I would have been a fan before then.
Oh, Aristotle just walked in. Oh, it's just his.
Veggie,
you ordered this yourself?
No, oh, it someone came from, ordered it.
Where'd it come from?
I can't read it.
Read it, Tom.
It says, Happy Drunksmas from Cleveland, making sure Podcat has something to notch.
You get
Alan Tenorio. Alan Tenorio.
Thank
that.
You.
You
look
own,
at
it,
like,
that's very thoughtful
so
of you, Alan.
Good luck,
Scott.
Veggie girl.
Is that fried cauliflower?
I know that one.
Oh, you're so excited. You're so excited. We've been here stuffing cheese and meat into our faces.
Yeah.
And you're and like, sugars. I get my own cauliflower.
Whoa.
What is that? Like, are those
cauliflower nachos?
That's a whole thing.
I know. I know. You got cauliflower nachos sent to you.
Oh, you're so happy. That's so sweet. Alan, you've made podcast.
You're so happy.
He's just
I mean, this just like the really brightens my day is how happy Aristotle is.
Billie Eilish was saying that on her first sort of tour, she'd lost so much weight because with catering or with like any food that was provided, because she and a lot of her team were vegan, they just had no options. And so
for
they
who?
Ended up, Billie Eilish.
Oh, Billie Eilish, yeah.
So for a lot of their tour, like they just weren't really easily able to eat food.
Let and that be a lesson to you, people.
Lost
you want to lose
of
weight? Just don't eat.
But like doing a 90.
Oh, wait. That sounds horrible.
Bad advice.
Actually, eat food that's healthy.
You really should.
I'm just saying. I'm sorry. Continue.
But like, if you're doing a 90-minute set, like you are jumping around, you are.
Oh yeah,
singing.
She burns so many calories.
Workout.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish is one of those artists that I look at. Like I'm truly like, thank God this is a person who exists, because she's able to take an art form and change it in a way that is different and new and unique and cool, you know, that you want to listen to her music. But I also go, holy fuck, you're 17. What else do you have to do in your life?
That's so this crazy. Is what's super interesting, and yeah. I'm kind of applying it to you, Tay, here. Is Ooh. That she
Are
recently-
you 17?
What's up? don't,
you're like,
don't
what's, up, what's up? What's up?
She recently got in a lot of hot water because someone asked her a question about Van Halen, and her response was, who is that? And everyone's like, how do you not fucking know as a magician who Van Halen is?
You,
and I believe
a musician?
It was like Van Halen's, like Eddie Van Halen's.
I'm pretty sure you said magician.
Magician.
Oh,
yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Drink.
Drink.
Oh, they are magicians when you really think about it, because what they make is magic. But Eddie Van Halen's, I believe it was son, came forward and went, whoa, whoa, music is so pure and beautiful and amazing yeah. and inclusive that the worst thing that you can do if you like music is to hold it over other people that don't know what you love.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, don't chastise people that don't love the thing or know the thing that you love so much. Music is so vast and amazing that people can love things that you don't, and it's absolutely acceptable.
Like, it's one thing to go, and Taylor, I'm going to like relate this back to you because sure. I think this is a perfect example. Like, it's one thing if you were like, I have never heard of Star Wars.
That would
that's
be
a different that's a different problem. That's a you don't
Ignorance.
Have an understanding. But that's like a you don't have an understanding of the
yeah, I went
industry
to school.
Yeah, yeah.
as a whole. So
t-shirts
if,
and lunchboxes.
Right. So if Billie I is it Eilish? She has like a weird way that she says her last name.
Eilish?
Eilish? Sure. Eilish. But if she was like, I've never heard of rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's a different problem.
Yeah.
For her to be like, I haven't, like, for you to be like, I've never really watched all of the Star Wars.
You sound like someone who likes sport.
Well, but of right, course. But it's like Billie Eilish being like, I've never listened to every single major rock act right. that's yes. existed. Yeah.
It's like
you
me
know?
Asking so many questions every single time you guys talk because we didn't grow up in the same
right.
exactly.
That's,
exactly.
Yeah, that's,
frame of
that's
reference.
That's totally what
different.
It is. Yeah.
I have to ask so many questions.
The expectation of, hey, you are in this certain industry, therefore you need to know every little thing about this industry
My
is
God.
Not accurate.
And being a nerd is so hard. Oh, you're a nerd? Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Have you watched all episodes
yeah, that's
of Doctor
scary.
Who?
That's scary.
Yeah, and that's yeah, what yeah. I was warning you about because yeah. some of these people are like, because I have been tested my entire career
yeah
about yeah. how much of an authentic nerd I am, and because being a nerd means all television, all movies, all video games, older video games,
right,
current video
Does
games
it?
To these people,
I mean, I think it's thankfully like moving out of that direction.
I
that
think it's
understand.
This and this isn't at anybody, but it's a little self-righteous of anybody to think everyone's gonna have a different experience, and it's cool because you get to hear whatever theirs is. But the people are like, oh, you don't know about this? Well, no, they know about something else,
yeah.
so let it be.
That's
yeah.
it. Well, and I found like when you start to punish people that don't know,
people don't want
to
hang out with
you. Instead of encouraging people to learn, that's where this whole like gatekeeping comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 absolutely. I mean, I was shocked, and I've now publicly said this a few times since I've watched the movie, but I just recently watched Detective Pikachu. I said it on the podcast, and I was like, a buddy of mine was a writer, so I texted him afterwards and was like, I enjoyed this movie far more than I thought I would yeah. for having little to no knowledge of Pokemon. And having little to no knowledge of Pokemon in this day and age in the industry I'm in, people are like, what the fuck? But I'm like, it literally just hit at a time when it wasn't.
I mean, I'm still playing Pokemon Go.
No, I get it. But
are
like
yeah.
when Pokemon awesome. First came out, I was a smidge too old for it.
Yeah,
it was a thing that my younger brother was into. So I had an awareness of it, but it wasn't like a encyclopedic knowledge of Pokemon. So watching this movie, I went, I still enjoy this for some reason, even though, and the fact that people will hold that over someone else to be like, you don't deserve whatever position you now have.
But
in
you know
your
where it comes from?
Ooh.
The thing that they liked when they were young and were bullied for and
yeah.
made fun about, which oh, is geez. Like, obviously like knowledge is power. So that knowledge was their power. And they are going to use and exercise that power any and every chance that they get because they were ridiculed for knowing it.
Well, true. I mean, I guess
Very
also...
Very true, yes.
When
the reason why me. Geeks either worship me because I... Oh my God, you like what I like and you look like that? Or hate me Oh, whoa, whoa.
You can't look like that. You can't be a nerd.
You look like the girl that bullied me in high school, and now you're infiltrating my world where I was safe.
Mm. Yep.
Interesting.
I know. That must be.
We're all one. So we're all together.
Oh, Taylor, you're so sweet.
It does totally tie back into what you're into. Like,
We're all into all of it. Like, yeah. I just don't really pay any mind if people start talking like that. You're like,
You made it easy. You made it easy to figure out.
So yeah, exactly. When did Rebels first come out?
2014. Like,
2014? It was that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Now I feel old. I'm like, it was like a year and a half ago.
Four seasons?
Wow. Is it that long? You can speak.
I did.
You're just nodding your head and you're
I'm
like,
not
I have
positive
no idea.
If that is. He's it was four seasons. I don't know the year.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, 2014, 15, 16.
That's fine. Yeah. So how is it? Because it's still going on. Rebels is still.
No, it's done now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Like a year or two ago.
This last year.
Who was the showrunner on the show?
Oh, fuck.
Who was it?
Dave Filoni.
That was Dave Filoni.
And he went over to make The Mandalorian.
I know.
That's what I was literally going to ask. It's what is it like being on a serialized Star Wars show and then having there be another
live
serialized
action.
Star? Yeah, I mean, it's a different genre, obviously, completely. But do you get hit up by fans or whatever about other Star Wars properties?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like asking questions or whatever it may be, or the sentiments about Rebels, but I as far as a new show, like, that's always how it goes, right? I've been on enough shows that get canceled and you're like, all right, I'm on to the next one. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's
but
that must be tough, man.
Yeah, Rebels is the first one that actually went for like 5 years, and you developed a character front to back, and like Dave Filoni had said, he told us how long it was going to go. Like, it wasn't option of them to end it with Clone Wars. He didn't get to finish it, and they stopped it. Everyone knows that, and so that's why he's finishing it now. This, he always knew. Like, Disney, the show was great, and people were into it. It could have gone. They all said that. Like, you know what I mean, there's a time for things
to
end. You always do that. You know what I mean? And that's perfect. Like, that's the only project I've done where we got to tell the entire story.
Hey, Rebels
Isn't
goes live
amazing?
Action.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I don't think people realize that as an actor,
yeah,
that is, unless you are doing a movie, unless you are have been cast in a movie that is not a sequel or has no intent of a sequel, the ability to play a character from beginning to end
is actually
very rare.
And this is like just my own hypothesis, but so many people are going over to TV now because you tell a long, long story. A film's 2 hours. Even if you were the main character, you're getting an hour and a half.
Right, 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 right. Of course.
That's 10, 15 generous scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On TV, if you're doing 6 seasons of a really good serialized show, you are developing a character and you're seeing every different face of that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
And even if you've never read the books, but Game of Thrones is such a perfect example, where season one of that show, you fucking hated Jaime Lannister.
Oh, yeah.
There was no question about that.
He was a pompous prick.
Right. And if you stopped watching after season one, you were like, he is the bad guy. And there was no question in anyone's mind that by the time they got to the last season, and listen, I'm not going to defend the last season in any way because I feel like it was mishandled.
He was pussy whipped.
But up to that point, you were like, wait a minute, Jaime Lannister is one of...
Yeah, it happens.
But you're like, Jaime Lannister is one of my favorite characters.
An amazing arc that snaps back to where it starts. The pendulum
completely.
Swing.
Yeah. But it's not
swang?
Something... But you're right.
Pendulum swang.
Drink. Swang. I can't even get around that one. I always give people...
But Taylor's totally right. It's not something you would see if that character was portrayed in a movie.
Yeah.
You wouldn't at all.
At all. Yeah.
Hold on. So Rebels goes live action. Who plays Ezra?
Ezra. I am.
Why would
you? Do you think
you
can pull it off physically?
For sure.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. He's got a much bigger schnoz than you.
Prosthetic.
That's what CG is for.
Laurence they Olivier wore fake noses in everything he did.
Purple hair, you'd do it. Blue hair.
Why would you
sure.
not?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just answering for him now. I'm
sure.
Like, fuck yeah. What?
That's a yes, Maud.
I'm like, I would dye my hair for any reason. Why wouldn't he do it?
Who would you play in the Star Wars universe, Allison?
Oh, God.
That's fun.
I'm so stressed out.
I know mine. We spoke about it previously.
I mean, okay, listen, here's the thing. I'm watching The Mandalorian right now, obviously, and every time I see Gina Carano do a role, I go, that is the role I would crush except she I would wouldn't be able to do my own stunts.
That's what's so funny. I've known Gina Carano because I watched the UFC.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I'm like,
yeah.
Now my worlds are coming together. I was like, yeah. How is this happening?
But but that's my thing is like she's... I don't want to say like badass. She's taking the roles. She's doing the roles that I would do as an actor, but she's doing them as both actor and stunt woman, which is not a void I can fill.
She's a twofer.
Yeah. Yes.
She was surprisingly better in The Mandalorian than anything I've seen her before.
Right.
She actually did a really good job.
I preferred her in Deadpool.
What's that?
I preferred her in Deadpool.
Nah. Yeah, Deadpool she was good in, but The Mandalorian she actually had to like kind of emote a little more.
Right.
Maud. No? You didn't like her in Mandalorian?
I preferred her in Deadpool.
So listen, at the point that we're recording this episode, five episodes of The Mandalorian have come out. And I will say that the fifth episode is the first... I kind of got hints of it in the fourth episode, but I didn't really like solidify my opinion about this. But the fifth episode is the first episode where I went, oh, right, it's a TV show.
Oh, do you know what mine was?
Oh, yeah,
I'd fuck him.
The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
He hasn't even taken his helmet off yet.
That's the amazing part about it, because that widow...
That's not my opinion. I'm just saying, as the show as a whole, is the first one I was like, oh, right, we're going to get these bite-sized stories now, episodically.
Just 8 episodes, and we've gone on like so many fillers instead of killers.
You're right.
Fillers instead of... Killers?
Yeah, episodes.
I don't disagree.
It's
don't
so
disagree.
Good. It's so good.
Speaking of fillers instead of killers, should I go to an email?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to touch on something really quickly.
Oh, yeah, touch. Away.
With Tay. Because there's... he hates it. He hates Tay, but that's what I call him. Sorry.
Do you hate Tay?
What?
No, but people tried to get that to stick in like elementary school, and I quickly was like,
then, hey,
guys,
fine. Dude, we'll
I know,
so
I even,
Taylor.
I even like
Tay's cool.
We are in middle school worst nightmare right now.
Well, no, it's great. There's White Claw out.
Tay Gray.
I didn't get that in
White
middle school.
You're like, I have White Claw. It's fine.
It wasn't until freshman year of high school that, yeah.
So Taylor.
Something that I think he and I have connected on, which is like a thought process, how we communicate, how we empathize, how we deal with a lot of issues and, conflict, is that he and I both have psychologists for mothers.
Oh, really?
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Did that help you or hurt you?
It helped so much.
Yeah. Good.
And there was something quite early on where he said something and I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I was like, oh, that's only because my mom's a psychologist. And he's like, same.
It's a language sort of thing. My best friend, his mom's a psychologist.
Where did you grow up?
Orange County.
Okay.
Oh,
so I got into acting by proximity, essentially. Yeah. But then...
When did you start? Because you were on Nickelodeon back in the day.
Yeah, I had a Nickelodeon show from, 15 to 18
so. What show?
It was called Bucket and Skinner, and it was a surfing, like...
Which one were you?
I used to work at Nickelodeon. I was a
writer. I played Bucket.
Okay, cool.
And so it messes with your head, like, when they throw you out and parade you around, and you do that.
And you're like, this is what life is.
Yeah, and then you're going back to high school, like, let's go. And it's a little different. But it's great. Like, because of my mom, it was way different. And also, I have a younger brother and sister who could have cared less what I did. So it was...
Really?
It kept you humble.
Jealous or
No. They're the coolest people. That's good. Because they don't. You know what I mean? And they were around everybody, but it didn't really kind of faze me.
This is a conversation with my brother tonight. So, Darcy, I just interviewed Morgan Freeman. You know, you name
right.
it. You name it. Charlize
like
Theron.
Like, whatever A-lister.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
He's, like, really into... Grew up obsessed with WWE. We had a wrestling ring in the backyard. Buddy, I'm just about to interview Dwayne The Rock Johnson for the third time. That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm achieving your dream.
Yeah.
This is the biggest deal ever. All right. No.
Yeah,
where can I see it? Not what did you talk about? Not tell me every single detail. Not can you get him to do a video for me and say my name so I can die happy? All right.
No, that's Zach and Madeline.
Are you like offended by that?
Are
like,
those your
as a
younger
guy,
siblings?
Yeah. Actually, she loved One Direction. She's a lot younger and she loved One Direction. I remember I was like, oh, meet him. We're going to hang out. And just like, oh, cool. And I'm like, What in the world? I thought that was it.
By the way, money cannot buy.
I didn't even mention that the guest we had on previous to Taylor was Sam Farrar, who I talked about, who his original band was Phantom Planet. The reason I met him was because that band played at my brother's fraternity in college.
Oh, amazing.
And I happened to be visiting my brother, and I knew Darren, who's the other guitarist in Phantom Planet. I just knew him through a mutual friend. And so... I was able to bring my brother, like, quote unquote, backstage at the fraternity to meet the band that his fraternity had hired to play. And my brother was like, cool. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
what
this
do
is,
I have to do?
This is what you guys spent all the money on. And you don't give a flying fuck that you actually get to meet them through your sister. Like, there's something about it that you're like,
legendary.
Go fuck yourself.
So the funniest
thing. But also, thank you for keeping me ridiculously humble.
That I've been able to do with my mum. And I think I told you this story where they thought the studio for Snatched, which is a movie with Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
They play mother and daughter. They thought it'd be really cool in the press tour to have all the journalists bring their mother.
I remember this because you brought your mom.
They flew my mom.
Yes.
Goddamn business class. This woman was like teed up. She didn't even want to do it. She was like, there is no way I want to do this at all. I'm like, business class flights. You're going to stay at the bungalows in Santa Monica and all you have to do is interview these two famous people for 5 minutes. She's like, no, I couldn't possibly. I was like, you get to see me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's something that I had to convince her for like 2 weeks. And then she did business class. She's like, oh, I'm a high roller now. Yeah. And I was like, oh, here. So anyway, we do all this prep. We watch the movie. She actually loves it. She wants to go over and over and over because this is so nerve wracking for her. We get in there. I ask the first question, just, you know, take the reins.
Yeah, of
She's
course.
She's immediately like, oh, Goldie Hawn, I really loved you in Overboard or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Goldie's just like, thank you. And obviously it was a touchy point because Goldie's a little bit older now. And this was a movie from the start of her career. And I think she kind of felt like that my mum had aged her.
Oh, really?
So mum just saw kind of Goldie give her nothing and her wall stayed up. And I'll never forget this. Mum's so funny. She was like, all right, you're boring. Didn't say it, but like her whole body language was like, all right, next. And then asked Amy my question that I was supposed to ask. Took that, went for it. And was just basically like, Amy, you have incredibly self-deprecating humor. Like that obviously has to kind of like cost something inside.
Oh, well, you're also, your mother's a psychologist.
Yeah. Like, let the session start.
Did
she charge Amy after
this? You joke about this. When Amy provided a self-deprecating answer, Mum all of a sudden leans in and her voice drops and she has a follow-up question. Why is it that you think you're like that? And I'm here going, but the movie was great. How cool is this? I've got 5 minutes, Mum. What do you do? And then after that, she's like, oh, how did I go? And I was like, it was really good. But at one stage, you got really, really quiet. And she's like, oh, my God. I started counseling Amy Schumer.
Yeah. Yes.
That's amazing.
Like, she's
but
like,
did Amy Schumer respond to it?
She just said that she was... She felt like Goldie Hawn had her wall up so hard. She's like, she's just boring and unbreakable. But Amy Schumer was seriously so fascinating because she is using humor as this like her wall. She's coding herself with humor so she can't be hurt. She's hurting herself so no one else can.
Yeah.
It's like a coping mechanism.
It is. Yeah. And Mum wanted to find out how and why.
I bet that's fascinating. I mean, that's because Amy Schumer was a stand-up comedian before an actress. Or, I mean...
Exactly.
She kind of blew up as a stand-up comedian prior to being an actress. And everyone says that people become stand-up comedians because they have... There's like...
I know quite a few.
Issues
that
they want to work through, that they work through on the stage.
Sad people want
to
laugh.
Do I have time to do an email, Tom?
Sure.
Yes? Okay, good. Because this actually kind of has to deal with Maud's...
Yeah, you got like a minute or two.
This is from Sam. It's entitled The Outer Worlds Update.
Oh!
Yes.
I just got The Outer Worlds.
Here we go. Hey, Allison, Maud, and Tom.
Hi, Sam.
This is Sam, empathetically. Or no. Yeah, empathetically. Hi, Maud!
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. It's in all caps.
Yeah.
Merry Drunksmiths, if you choose to read this email then, which we are.
Oh, nice.
I was emailing mainly to tell Maud she has only improved the show since arriving.
Agreed.
And the author of the 2-star review needs to loosen up. Apparently, I guess we read one that was like, whatever. But her mentioning the Outer Worlds got me curious about how she chose to approach the game.
Yeah.
I love Obsidian's game and how they choose to approach FPS RPGs, which that's a whole bunch of letters.
First person shooter role-playing games.
I get it, but still, it's a lot of letters in a row. And I want to take a guess at what she may have chosen as her character design. I think if I nail it, she needs to take a shot.
Fuck. All right.
Are you ready?
Ooh, yeah.
Here we go. Okay. By her natural charisma... I like to guess that she stored her points in intelligence and charm.
Nah.
Oh, really?
Intelligence.
In the game we're playing, you did.
I did.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, Taylor here to call her out.
On my side.
I don't know what the other game you're talking about is, but.
Yeah.
It's this one right here.
But I'm also under the suspicion that Maud's solution to problems may be to instantaneously start hitting them with heaviest objects she could find. So I want to say high points in melee, single-handed, if you want to get specific, as well as sneak, final answer.
Absolute opposite.
Oh.
I barely did melee at all. I was long-range shooter, and I put all of my effort. Oh, it was charm, but it was persuasion over intimidate or lie. Because I thought that was a lesser of two evils. And I was technician, though. That's a running theme, isn't it?
I like to fix stuff.
I do. I fix things. And the attitude...
Like her life.
And the attitude was not to throw the heaviest object as soon as shit hit the fan. It was actually to solve and mediate. Mm. I was the perfect mediator in this game. Two parties that hated each other and wouldn't come to a conclusion, I stepped in and made them see the right way, and no harm happened. Except on one planet, and I killed absolutely every person.
That's
so
acceptable.
I think all the rest
that's
of us.
Collateral damage.
I'll happens. Take the shot anyway, though, because I'm a good sport.
And all the rest of us will drink. All the rest of us will
drink.
I
gotta
get
a new drink. Okay. And on that note.
Yeah.
I know. Sorry. Go wrap
Sam
it up.
Says, thanks for making the holiday season bearable, as I can listen to this instead of Christmas music inside the grocery store. Skull. Sam from, I think, Nova Scotia or North Virginia. I can't tell.
I thought Nova Scotia was like...
I think it's Nova Scotia.
A made-up place, you know, like in those like Terraria or like something.
No, Nova Scotia is a real place.
Couldn't point to it on a map, so it was
Did we do
it?
Either, actually. Yeah, we did. We're, yeah.
Tay, where can we find you?
Yeah,
where can
we find you on the socials?
Should we talk a tiny second about Galaxy of Ed, Galaxy of Crime?
Oh, can we? Yeah.
Sure.
Please
yeah,
do it.
Definitely.
You want to take the reins?
No, tell us about your character, Aleph.
What? Wait, hold on. First off, tell us what Galaxy's Edge. Wait, not Galaxy's Edge. That's the
that's
place.
That's what I did. Galaxy.
That's
of Crime.
A Disneyland, yeah. Which I can't talk about.
I was
about
like, that's where the Millennium Falcon is. Yeah. Tell us a smidge about Galaxy of Crime first, and then tell us about your character.
We're both trying to palm it off to each
other. I'll tell about my character. Galaxy of Crime is a game that is Star Wars.
It's a tabletop RPG game.
There you go.
Yep. We are using the Fantasy Flight system for Edge of the Empire, which means you have dice that rolls success or fails or with threats and advantages. So there's a lot of dice, and the schematics was a little bit tricky. We spent a couple of games trying to get our head around that.
Now, but also shortly a mildly slimmed down D&D.
Took some of the basics of D&D, but then applied different ways to execute.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And then, yeah, so basically our GM puts us in a scenario, and we, as our characters, figure out how we would like to do that, and when combat ensues, we roll to succeed or not. You get different advantages and disadvantages, I guess, or different skill sets. So Taylor and my character are very, very different. So let's hear about Aleph.
He's like a space cowboy. He's got a hawk.
Best
love
part.
He's got a hawk
best
and
old.
He has yeah. a bow and arrow, and he's good at
and
shooting.
And a G-bow.
Yeah.
And a G-bow.
Energy bow. Like,
energy bow. It's like a G-bow. Yeah, yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, because he's G.
Yes, and he's down to help out the team.
Fuck yeah.
You read a whole backstory.
Yeah, he's from a different planet. I like to leave it a little mysterious.
All right,
leave them wanting a little more.
Where can people check this out?
We are live every second Wednesday, so we've just had our first session that took place on the 4th of December. It goes for about 3 hours. You can find it on youtube.com/geghead and twitch.tv/geghead if you want to live chat with us all. We're back on the 18th of December.
Boom.
Next week.
Yeah.
Sweet. Are you prepped? You don't seem prepped at all.
Tay
does
this amazing
prepped.
Thing
I'm
where he plays it really cool, and then he has this moment of panic where he kind of like does his half wide eye shrug, and that's when
and
I
then
know
you win it all.
I need to step in.
I'm
and
very.
The
here is
my biggest
approach.
Problem.
I'm
I went into
similar.
The game and I was like, "What's the objective? How do we win?" And that was the rude awakening. Was there's no winner.
And you're like, "Why the fuck am I playing this?"
I didn't understand. That's why I like sports. I like an objective. Acting is so great, but someone can come along and say it was a bad performance, and they're right. You know what I mean? I don't like that because we always talk about you want to be really good at stuff and sports. You can objectively, even if you're unorthodox, you can beat someone and say
you're like
I don't
someone
care what
got
you
more
care.
Points than
it's
the other.
It's 10-3, and that's what it
I'm
is.
I'm better.
Yeah.
And in arts, that's the beauty of it, but also something that every now and then you get a little when that's your whole life. Like no, like somebody's better, and we're gonna say who. But in a game
who
like this, it's
fun. Who was the MVP of our first episode though?
You better say Maude or she's going to murder you.
No,
I'm
no,
just
no.
letting
I would,
you know.
I
we'll
would say
stop recording.
I would say Freddy because he had kills when he doesn't even... He,
this is Freddy Prince Jr.
Kills.
It is Freddy
he,
Prince
He doesn't even get kills. Like, and he He got some kills.
I'm sorry. Remember when I like hacked into the terminal you and I think made the doors explode? I made the doors explode.
You're like, go fuck yourself, Maud.
I would put you three, maybe.
Who's two?
Me.
Get out. Oh, that's our time. What a shame.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Aristotle just told us to fortify. We have to drink.
We have to drink.
I finished mine.
Oh, did you? You're welcome to pour more, buddy.
Yeah, I'm about to go to the Laker game and drink some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Because someone has to win.
All right. Well, like, the Lakers will not win. What? Because they've been... Have they? They've not been good this season.
Killer this season.
Yeah, no, the Clippers are far better.
No. The Clippers are...
Listen, I know nothing about basketball. I know. I was just trying to be relative. No,
the Lakers are the best team in the NBA right now.
Really? Okay, I literally have no idea what
you like. You like Lakers? Name three players.
Yeah?
Name all their albums.
I'll name the bench players as well.
Yes!
I don't think I could name two.
Listen, I know a lot about sports. Basketball is not one of them.
Kobe?
He's not on the Lakers anymore. He retired.
No, yeah, Kobe. I saw Kobe's last game.
Tall
I at least
guy.
Know that.
LeBron, Anthony yes. Davis.
Yes. Yes.
Who's yeah. Anthony? I thought Anthony Davis was C-3PO.
CP3 is
Daniels.
CP3, Chris Paul. He's on the Thunder now.
Yes. Wow. Okay, look at this.
Well,
shit.
I did a movie called, I did a basketball movie with Kevin Durant and it was
you
a
did?
Lot of NBA. Yeah, and we switched talents. It's like Mike, it was like we touch a ball and now I can dunk.
That was Thunderstruck?
Yeah, I was the...
You're the kid?
Yeah, the guy.
Really?
That,
you were talking about this.
You know this?
No, I just know... No, I don't know. I know the movie, yes. I'd never... Yes.
Yeah, wait, you did a movie where you movies. Became Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. And for 2 months, I spent in Oklahoma and Louisiana.
Can I tell you, I went to basketball camp once in my life, and six hours into my six-day-long basketball camp, I played one game in which I crashed my knee against some other girl's knee, ended up having to go to the infirmary, was then in a knee brace and on crutches for the rest of basketball camp, in which my team won.
Without you.
So at the, without
you helped
me
them by
fully,
not helping them.
Exactly.
That's great.
So at the end of basketball camp, I won a trophy for doing
embraces.
Fuck all, but sitting on a bench.
I mean, that's the goal. Really.
Is that the goal? No way.
I just have,
yeah, to win the awards without doing the work?
Yeah.
Duh.
No.
It's called gardening leave. It's my goal in life, which is like when you get fired before the contract ends, you get paid to do nothing.
Oh, we
so
have, look at it way different. I want to have made the last shot and... We won two national championships when we were younger. Our
completely.
Teams,
I do
if
have
you're
one
good
question
at the job.
About that. You're trying to tell me that Kevin Durant is not from Duran Duran.
No, Durant.
Durant. With a
God
T.
Damn it, Ma. Durant.
Duran Duran, though, is named
it's the first
after
time I've ever
Durant.
Hearing this name.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, but you're...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Taylor, this is
Taylor,
your job.
Taylor,
you're shooting some regular show with Maude.
Yeah, yeah. I'll
while
tell you about
she's
that. You tell me
you about
Sonic
Wars.
The Hedgehog.
There you go.
She's wearing a Sonic the Hedgehog
sweater. You
teach
her about basketball.
I think Taylor and I were friends.
And now you're not?
I'm not sure.
Did when Drunk Smiths break up a friendship?
I'm
listen,
tell
Kevin
you about
not
Durant
the first time.
Durant. And his nickname is the Durantula.
I got a Durant for you, and I will not stop once I start.
That sounded sexy.
Durant, I will give you.
Yeah,
like,
what does
oh,
that
rant?
Mean?
It's just it's like using rant, but
it still sounds
fortify.
Fuck off, Aristotle.
We gotta wrap it up too, because we need.
Aristotle makes us keep drinking.
All right, thank you so much for watching.
Thank you guys.
All right, if you want to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at halfhourhappyhr. Subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on. Please rate us and validate us and give us reviews. Is
yeah,
that what it's called?
Five stars.
I don't know. I've
talk shit, but five stars.
On Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Google Play? Yeah, that's the thing. It's the only thing. I said it right. Great. And that is it for day
nine?
Yeah.
Of Drunksmiths. This is the half hour happy hour ladies night. I'm Allison Aislinn.
I'm Maude Garrett.
Thank you, Tom Helping Hands Krayeski. Thank you, Taylor Gray.
Thank you
for
guys.
Coming on and teaching us about basketball and nothing about Star Wars.
What's your social handle?
Whoa.
What's your social handle?
Taylor Gray 3.
That's so easy.
Three.
I thought I was
not
number three.
One.
Huh?
That was my basketball number.
Number one?
Yeah. Okay. What a ridiculous name. No, I am Taylor Gray's Twitter. I can't.
Wait,
remember.
Which Gray? Because I actually, when I looked you up, I was like, which? How do I spell the Gray?
Yeah.
It's G-R-A-Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
That Gray. Kind of Gray.
Gray.
Is that 50 Shades of Gray? No, that's the other
my
one.
My corporation right. name, is that fine to say? Because I incorporated like 15 years ago, is Shades of Gray. And so
oh,
the amount of times when I use my card, they're like, oh, and I didn't understand.
Like, you got dirty bastard.
And now I really embrace it.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. As you should. Right. As you should.
I'm like, yeah, it is.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank
awesome.
You, guys.
A podcast network.